Last week we had a conversation about balancing emunah and optimism when we go through nisyonos, when we go through challenges in life. And Baruch Hashem, it seemed to have touched many hundreds of people, both here and online, just from the feedback that we're getting. And there were enormous amount of requests and email that we continue the conversation on this very important theme. So that's what we're going to do today. But before we do that, I just want to share with you two points that to me were very, very inspiring from what happened this past week. At the very beginning of our shiur last week, for those who were here or for those who listened online, I mentioned that often the cycle of life can be very complicated and it can be very confusing. And at times you can have, like I mentioned, some people who are asking a shiloh about birth control at the same time that we have people in the community asking about how they're supposed to deal with their struggles with infertility. At the same time that some people are asking shilohs about doing construction on their homes during the 9 days and the 3 weeks, there are others who are unfortunately discussing foreclosure in their homes and the fact that they cannot afford life. So I got two comments from online listeners, and it just shows how truly amazing a people we are. Comment number one was, one person contacted me who I know, and he said, if in the future there are couples who you know that cannot afford to pay for their fertility treatments, he said, please take my phone number, here is my contact information. And he said, I would be honored to contribute to help them in a significant way. And he said, I hope you understand that I never expect any recognition. I don't want these families to ever know who I am. But I understand that this is a challenge that people suffer with, and it costs a tremendous amount of money. And he said, if I can ever be helpful to bring a child into someone's life and to give them that gift, I would love to be helpful in that. That was number one. That's amazing. Number two, I was contacted by another individual who davens in our shul, and he is a real estate lawyer. I never knew that he was. And he said that if there's ever a member of this community who is being threatened with foreclosure, he services them free of charge to figure out how to circumvent the issue as best as possible. And he says he makes them sign a very simple contract when he gets involved with them. The contract consists not of a retainer fee like most lawyers would make a client sign, but rather the contract is that as long as you pledge never to talk again during davening and shul, you don't have to pay anything. If you breach your contract, then you owe me the fee that I charge for all of my clients. That to me was amazing. That to me was amazing. And both of these stories are just a glimpse into how beautiful a people we are, that we have so many individuals who are willing to give of their God-given talents to others who are suffering, who can use their help. And it was really inspiring for me to think about how lucky we are to have these kinds of friendships, this kind of community, and people who really care. So now let's move on to this week's shiur. We're going to delve a little bit deeper into the topic that we started last week of nisyonos, of life challenges, and we're going to discuss how often that makes a dramatic impact in our otherwise very stable emunah, in our otherwise very stable belief in God. Sometimes when somebody goes through a nisayon, a difficult challenge, that can throw them to a place where they never expected to be. And I'd like to discuss that this morning because to me, this is an issue that I think about all the time. I don't know if everybody in the room does, but it's something I think about all the time. And it's something that I struggle with a lot. So many of the great Jewish philosophers over the last few hundred years were very troubled with the same question. And the question that bothered many of them was, why did God create the world? What was the purpose? And this is a question that they wrote, whatever they felt, everybody wrote their own ideas. And one of the more famous comments that is made is that of the Ramchal. And again, this consumed many of the Jewish philosophers' thought. And there's so much written about it. But the Ramchal, if we could just say it very simply. Now, the Ramchal himself is known as the one who wrote the Mesilas Yesharim. And we know him in history for all eternity as being a great Jewish philosopher who we all study his words for all eternity. And he lives in the 1700s, but what's fascinating is in the 1700s, in that time, the Ramchal was actually an outcast in his community. He was excommunicated. The Ramchal lived in Italy. He started to study Kabbalah. He started to teach mysticism. And people thought this was a reincarnate of Shabtai Tzvi. He was about 100 years after Shabtai Tzvi, and they said, hey, we fell into this already. About 100 years ago, we had an individual who also claimed to know all kinds of things that most people didn't know, who also claimed to be a leader and a charismatic personality, and it really threw the Jewish people for a loop last time, And everybody said, we're not going to make the same mistake again. And they decided there must be something off with Rav Moshe Chaim Letzate, with the Ramchal. They run him out of town. The Ramchal then travels to Amsterdam. He believes maybe if he goes to a community where they might be slightly more educated, more open, the German community, maybe that's where he'll be able to be successful. The same way they're open to other ideas, maybe they'll be open to him as well. And he is met there with also tremendous controversy. He did not have it easy at all. Ultimately, he ends up moving to Eretz Yisrael. And that's really where he takes off as the Ramchal. So we know his Svarim today to be a pillar of Jewish philosophy, but at the time, it was an extremely controversial work. So there in the very beginning, Perek Aleph, the very first chapter of the Mesilas Yesharim, he writes, why is it that God created the world? What was the objective? What was the point? Why did God need to put this intricate world into being? Why is it so detailed and so sophisticated, and everything that God put into our lives and our experiences, was there a purpose? And writes the Ramchal, one very simple objective, and that was, because ultimately we assume that God is the supreme provider. God is the ultimate giver. And if there is no one to give to, he cannot be a giver. So God created the world to be mativ labrios. God created the world because he wanted to bestow and shower kindness and overwhelm us with his kindness and his mercy. So therefore he created the world. Therefore he created all of us. Says the Ramchal, again, I'm very oversimplifying a very complicated idea that the Ramchal discusses, but that's basically what he says, that the point of the creation of the world was simply to be mativ im habrios, because God wanted to do kindness and shower us with his love. And the only way for him to express that is if he creates people who are able to accept all that he wants to give them. That, says the Ramchal, is the reason. Well, that leads him to a very obvious question. If God is the ultimate giver, and he loves us so much, and all he wants to do is provide for us, why does he challenge us so much? Why does he make life so difficult for so many people? That doesn't seem to go in line with being an ultimate giver, with being the transcendent giver. So how does that fit into this discussion? Writes the Ramchal, the answer is because we have a concept referred to as Nama de Kisufa. And Nama de Kisufa means, if a person is going to be given handouts their whole life, you will never feel fully satisfied. That is not a gratifying feeling. What makes us feel good, even though sometimes it's hard, but what makes us feel good in life is when we work hard and we earn that which we deserve. Says the Ramchal, the same way that is the way all of life works, you can go two routes. You can go your whole life getting handouts somehow, living off of government programs or whatever it might be, or being supported, or you can try to work hard on your own and provide for yourself. Writes the Ramchal, God wanted it to be the same way. The most gratifying, the most pleasurable and rewarding experience that we can have is when we deserve whatever it is that we get. And therefore, says the Ramchal, because God wanted us to feel so gratified, because he wanted us to feel so oversatisfied by what it is that we get in life, therefore he gave us struggles. And he gave us that which we need to overcome to deserve that which we have. Says the Ramchal, that's the basic way to understand why the world was created and why it is that we have challenges throughout our experiences in life. Now, as we know, the nisyonos, the challenges that people go through, can vary and they can fluctuate and they're very diverse. There's a tremendous range of challenges. So some people have challenges with unhealthy children and other people have challenges with shidduchim and some people have challenges with parnasa and some people have challenges with shalom bayis. Everybody has their challenges. And in fact, the Medrash writes a very important comment that I think we need to keep in mind. The Medrash in Shemos Rabbah writes about challenges that Ein Briya She'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menase Oso. There is no person in the world that God doesn't challenge. What does that mean? So the Medrash just gives us one example, but you can give 100 examples. Says the Medrash, HaAshir, you can have a wealthy individual who has so much money and who seems that everything goes easily for them. But they sometimes are challenged with the problem that it's very hard for a person to part with their money. And although I have enough to provide for myself and my family and my children and my grandchildren, sometimes it's a tremendous challenge to see, will this individual be a charitable, generous, and giving person? That sometimes is his challenge. And don't think that that challenge is any less than, says the Medrash, the ani, the poor person who just simply can't make a living and who has the challenge of, will I be happy in life? Will I just live life being bitter and resentful and being angry at God and upset about my lot in life? These are the two different experiences that two different kinds of people have. But the Medrash says, Ein Briya She'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menase Oso. There is no person that goes through life without being challenged at all. And therefore the Medrash teaches us that we have to be able to live and we have to be able to appreciate our unique and individual and distinct challenges that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Not that it's easy. It's complicated. For some people, it's impossible. It's insurmountable. And that's what I'd like to talk about for the duration of our shiur this morning. One of the most famous personalities in all of Tanakh, and I would imagine the image that all of us would think about when we describe for ourselves a person who lived a life of nisayon, a person who lived a life of challenge, would be, who would it be? Iyov. So that's what I'd like to study today. I'd like to study some passages from Iyov to give us an appreciation for what that kind of life means. The story is truly amazing. And the story is very moving when you go through it. So by way of introduction, let's just begin with the words of the Rambam. The Rambam is in the Mor Nevuchim. And the Rambam there in his Sefer on Jewish philosophy writes, Iyov lo haya velo nivra. Iyov, which might be surprising to many of us, Iyov was a fictional, he was an imaginary character. He never existed. Ela mashal haya. It was just a mashal, it was a parable. Va'asher chashvu shahaya, and those that believe that Iyov actually existed, v'nivra v'shehu inyan she'ira, and the story actually took place, lo yadu lo lo zman v'lo makom, says the Rambam, even those positions that believe that Iyov did exist, they don't even know at what time period or where in the world he was living. Some say, writes the Rambam, that he lived in the days of the Avos. Uksas ha-mamru, and some say he lived b'mei Moshe. Uksas ha-mamru shahayu b'mei David, writes the Rambam, some say he lived in the days of David HaMelech, and some say he lived in the days of Olei Bavel. That means in the days of Ezra, when they came back after the 70 years in exile, they built the second base HaMikdash. So there are many opinions, and the Rambam writes, if you have five opinions about when somebody lived, it means they never lived. That's what the Rambam says. Now, Rambam says, in my position, I believe, he's a fictional character. Ritzoni Loma, what is the point of this Sefer Iyov? Why do we have it? Heyos ha'ish ha'tam ha'shalem v'hayashar b'masav ha'yari me'od menachatayim. Here you have an individual who is an upstanding citizen, who does everything that God can ever ask of a human being to do. And yet, yacholu bo roz gedolos et kufos, does it make sense that this person, after doing everything right in life, gets the payback that Iyov got, as we will see shortly? B'mamono u'bebanav u'begufo lelochet yechayiv ha'inin ahu, does it make sense? Is that really something that sounds justifiable? Is that something that sounds right? Kol zeh mashal v'lo safek l'chol bar das, writes the Rambam. The objective of reading Sefer Iyov is simply because he says it is a mashal. And this is not just a nice Hasidish Maisa, it's not just a nice story that makes us feel good. Says the Rambam, the story here is profound. Not the Hasidish Maisa Lacharon. But this one, he says, is deep and profound, and it has secrets in it that if a person will really learn it carefully, he says, this should be the manual, this should be the guide, this should be the directory and the lesson for all of us of how a human being is meant to think about nisyonos, about challenges. So what exactly is the story of Iyov? Let's learn through part of Iyov. Again, Iyov is about 40 prakim or so. So we're only going to go through the beginning, the first parak and a half, just to give ourselves a little bit of an appreciation to what the story is all about. Let's learn together. If you look at number Beis here, that is Parak Aleph in Sefer Iyov, line number 18. We're just going to learn Tanakh together. Ish haya be'eretz Utz. There was a man who lived in the town of Utz. Now, anybody here ever heard of the town of Utz? Really? Where? So the Rambam says Utz never existed either. So why do we make up the story that he lives in Utz? Says the Rambam, Utz is like Utzu Eitza. Utz is, means you should take counsel. Eitza. Says the Rambam, this teaches us that when we learn Sefer Iyov, That is where we should take counsel from. Listen carefully to the messages, says the Rambam, that you will learn from reading the story of Iyov. So Ish Haya Be'eretz Utz and Iyov Shemo. It was a man who lived in this community and his name was Iyov. V'haya Ishahu, and this man was a Tam V'yasher V'yirei Elokim. He was a perfect, consummate, flawless individual, a moral and righteous person who was so innocent and upright and did everything exactly the way he was supposed to in life. V'sar Meira, he stayed away from evil. He did everything a good Jew is supposed to be doing. V'yivol Delo Shiva Banim V'shalosh Banos. He has 10 children. He has 7 sons and 3 daughters. Not only that, he also has Mikneu Shivas Alfei Tzon. He has 7,000 sheep. He has 3,000 Gemalim. Chamesh Meos Tzemed Bakar. He has 500 cattle. The Chamesh Meos Hasonos, 500 donkeys. V'avoda Rabba Miyodi, has a prosperous, a bustling business. V'ayihi Yishahu Gadol Mikol B'nei Kedem. This man Iyov, again, we don't know when he lives, but this man Iyov was greater than Kol B'nei Kedem, than everybody. He was an amazing human being. V'holchu Bana V'asu Mishte Beis Ish Yomo. Now his children, his 10 kids, who had a very close relationship with one another, used to make parties all the time. After all, they were living a very rich, very affluent lifestyle, and they felt nothing inappropriate about it. Why not get together? Why not have a celebration? So that's what they did. They used to rotate homes, and each child used to host a party in his home for all the rest of the family members. So, v'halchu bana v'asu mishte beis ish yomo. V'shalchu v'kar l'shlosha sachi yoseim. Obviously, they not only got the boys together, they called their sisters to come and join them. V'lecho v'lishtos imam. Why not have a family get-together? Let's enjoy ourselves. V'ayihi ki hikifu yemei ha-mishte. V'yishloch iyo v'yekadshem. Here's something amazing. Every time that one of these parties finished, Iyov was concerned that maybe somebody in the family, you know, sometimes when we have a family get-together, not us, but sometimes when families get together, they speak in ways that otherwise they wouldn't speak if they were in the presence of others. They do things that perhaps are slightly inappropriate because we're just family anyway. Nobody's listening, nobody's watching, nobody's paying attention. So Iyov was concerned. My kids want to have fun. My kids want to get together. It's great. But every time those parties were over, Hishkin Baboker, Iyov would wake up early in the morning, Vehele Olos Mispar Kulam. He would bring karbanos, determining the number of animals that were sacrificed for that party. He would bring the same amount of animals as karbanos. Why? Ki Amar Iyov, because he said, Ulai Chatu Banai Uberchu Elokim Bilavavam. Maybe my children did something wrong. You can always bring in a deva. You can bring something voluntary. So he said, maybe my children did something wrong in the course of their partying, in the course of their getting together. And you know, no. Let me just err on the side of caution. And Iyov was, listen to this. That's the way he saw his family celebrating. Every time they were finished, he decided he's going to bring karbanos. Kacha yasa Iyov kalayam. That's what Iyov did. Vayhi ayom, one fine day. Here we go. Vayavo b'nei ha'elokim. All of the messengers of God come for a meeting. Lehisyatzev al Hashem. I would imagine God is sitting on his kisei hakavod, and all of a sudden Michael and Gabriel and Eliyahu Hanavi and all his different messengers come to have a discussion. So what's the plan for today? What's on the to-do list? So they all come to have a conversation. And Vayavo gam hasatan bisocham. It's not just the heavenly angels, it's not just Gabriel and Michael and Eliyahu Hanavi and everybody else, but the Satan comes to join the conversation. Vayomer Hashem el Satan, God says, hey, nice meeting you. And what brings you here? Me'ayin tavo, where do you come from? Vayan ha-Satan el Hashem, the Satan responds, Vayomer mishot ba'aretz u'mishalechba, I'm actually returning from a trip down on your beautiful world. I was checking out what's going on down there. Vayomer Hashem el Satan, oh, you just came back from taking a tour around the world. You had a long journey. Hasamta libcha al avdi Iyov. Did you by chance come across this great man Iyov? I'm curious if you met him. Ki ein kamo ba'aretz ishtam v'yasher yirei Elokim v'sar meira. God says about Iyov, God himself testifies that Iyov is ishtam v'yari Elokim. He's the greatest man alive. Have you met him? Vayan ha-satan al-Hashem. The Satan says, come on. Of course I met him. But why are you impressed? Hachinam yirei Iyov Elokim. It's very easy for Iyov to believe in you, God. After all, he says, Halo ata sachta ba'ado. You have protected him. You have provided him and his family. Mi mase yada beirachta umikneu paratz ba'aretz. You have given Iyov the perfect life. Why shouldn't he love you? So you're so impressed with Iyov? What's the big deal? I can also love God if I had that kind of life. So God says, really, is that what you think? Ulam shlachna yadcha v'ga b'chal asher lo im lo al panecha yivarecha. Says the Satan, I have an idea. Let's try to start making Iyov's life a little bit difficult. And you'll see, this Iyov that you thought you knew is not really the person who believes in you. He's not really the individual who loves you so much. You'll see. Well, Vayomer Hashem ala Satan, God says, really, is that what you think? Hine kol asher lo biyadecha rak eilav al tishlach yadecha. God says, you have a free pass. Now what this means, I don't fully understand. But God says, you have a pass. You can go down into the world. You can do whatever you'd like to Iyov. Just don't kill him. Everything else is fair game. I shouldn't say it that way, but everything else is okay. Vayetze ha-satan me'im p'nei Hashem. Ha! Okay, I have some job to do. So the satan is all excited. He leaves this meeting and he says, God is giving me an opportunity to do whatever I'd like to prove that Iyov is not really the God-fearing Jew that we all thought he was. So here goes. Vayhi ayom, it was one fine day. Ubanav ubanosav ochlim b'shosim yayim b'beis achiyam abachor. The family has a get-together. They're celebrating once again. Umalach ba'al Iyov, vayomer. Malach means a messenger, not an angel. A malach, a messenger, comes to Iyov and he says, Habakar hayurchorshos, you won't believe it. All of your cattle, all of your donkeys were doing work on the fields. And they were grazing. Vatipol shiva vatikachem. Attackers came, ambushed all of those animals. Ve'es hana'arim hikulufi charev. All of those caretakers of your animals were destroyed. Ve'imalta rak ani levadi lahagid lach. I am the sole survivor of this terrible calamity. So I just came to let you know that you've lost all of your animals and all of those people who are taking care of them, they're gone. Iyov is trying to process. Od zemedaber, while this messenger is giving him this information, zeba, another messenger comes in, vayomer, eish elokim nafla min hashamayim, a heavenly fire came down, vativar batzon v'ana'arim batochayim, you know that those sheep, and all those animals that you had just grazing in the fields out there, a heavenly fire came and consumed all of them. V'imalta rakani levadi la'agedach, all the shepherds, everybody was killed, all the sheep, all the animals. I was the sole survivor who was able to run away. So I've come to let you know that we've suffered a tremendous loss. Od zemedaber, as if that's not enough, while the second messenger is telling him this, v'zeba v'yomar, and a third messenger comes in and he says, kazdim samu shlosha rashim, our enemy came in three different fronts, they ambushed us, v'yivshatu asagmalim, they raided all of our animals that we had left, v'yikachum v'asana'orim hiku l'fichar, v'imalte rakani levadi l'agilach, I'm the only one left. Everything's destroyed. Od zemedaber. While the third messenger is giving his terrible news, another one shows up. Vayomer, and he says, you're not going to believe this. Have a seat. Banecha ubenosecha ochlim v'shosim yayim bebeis achiyim abachar. You were aware that your children were having a get-together in their older brother's house, right? Iyov says, yeah, I was invited. I'm aware. You won't believe what happened. Well, they were all in the middle of eating. They were all celebrating, having a wonderful time. And suddenly, out of nowhere, hinei ruach gedola ba me'ever hamidbar. A hurricane comes out of nowhere. Powerful winds. Vayiga ba'arba pinos habayis. And it picks up the entire house. Vayipol al hana'arim vayamusu. And the house collapses on your entire family. And every single one of your children died. And I, who was one of the waiters there, was able to run away, but everybody else was killed. I watched it, I saw it. So it's tragic. His entire life just went up in flames. Everything he had. Line 67. Vayakam Iyov gets up after hearing all of this, trying to process. Vayikras me'ilo, he rips his clothing. Vayipol artsa vayishtachu. He can't stand. He just can't put himself together. He can't compose himself. How could he be expected to? But listen what he says. Unbelievable. It's exceptional to hear his response. Vayomer, and he says, Arum yatsasi mi betanimi, va'arum ashuv shama. I came into this world, I had nothing. I'm going to leave this world, and once again, I'm going to have nothing. When a person passes from this world, they take nothing with them. So Iyob says, this is the way God put me into the world. This is the way I'm going to leave the world. Hashem nasan v'hashem lakach, yihi shem Hashem mevorach. Unbelievable. Such a response. What kind of human being is this? Iyob says, God gave me, and God decided now it's time to take it away. Yihi shem Hashem mevorach. God should be blessed. It's all okay. And it's painful, and it's difficult, and it's horrible, and it's evil, and it's unfair. But yihi shem Hashem mevorach. He seems like impenetrable. You can't touch this man. Look what you did to him. With all that was going on, Iyov doesn't say a word. Doesn't curse God, doesn't get angry at him. He just takes it all in. Perek Beis. Line 75. Vayhi ayom, and then another day comes. Vayavo b'nei ha'elokim l'yatzev al Hashem. So the next day comes around, and once again they have this heavenly meeting with all of God's messengers, and all the heavenly angels come to God and they ask him, what do you have on the list of to-dos today? So he starts talking to all of them. Vayavo gam ha'satan b'socham l'yatzev al Hashem. And the Satan also joins in this conversation once again. Vayomer Hashem el Satan. God says to the Satan, hey, have you had a busy day? Emi zeh tavo, where are you coming from? Vayan ha-Satan el Hashem vayomer, he responds, Mishot ba'aretz u'mishalech ba, I'm actually returning from a journey out in the world again. Vayomer Hashem el Satan. Well, God says, I seem to remember we had a conversation yesterday. And I asked you if you encountered Iyov. So he asked him again, Hasamta libcha al avdi Iyov? Have you come across my faithful servant Iyov? Ki ein kamo ba'aretz? There's no one like this man. I'd like you to meet him. Ishtam v'yasher yirei Elokim v'sar meira v'odenu machzik b'tumaso. Iyov is still a man of tremendous integrity. Look what he's done. Look how strong he is. V'atasiseni bo levalo chinam. And you have incited me to destroy Iyov's life for no reason. I told you, Satan. You can do whatever you'd like to him. And look, he's still the same person. So what was the point? Vayomer, Vayan ha-Satan al Hashem vayomer. The Satan responds and he says, come on. If I would give a person a choice either to give up all of their property, all their possession, all their money, or to be killed themselves, of course they'll take the choice to take all their money. A man would give anything to save his own life. So Iyov knew that there was no choice for him. Of course he took it in stride. Ulam shlachna yadcha v'gal atzmo v'el besaru imlo el panecha yivarecha. The Satan says, yeah, let's see if we inflict him personally with problems now. Not just those around him, not just his money, not just his property. Let's see if we go after him. Let's see how he'll respond. There's no way he's going to stay strong. Vayomer Hashem al Satan, God says, Hino biyadcha. No problem. You think you're going to be able to get at Iyov? Go ahead. Aches nafsho shemar. Just don't kill him. You can do everything short of taking his life, but you can destroy his life. Vayetze ha-Satan me'es b'nei Hashem. The Satan is thrilled. He has a job to do. Vayachas Iyov b'shchinra mikaf raglo v'ad katkadu. And he inflicts Iyov with terrible boils and infection and inflammation all over his body. And it says that Iyov can't get comfortable and he's burning up outside, inside. He doesn't know where to put himself. Finally, vatomer lo ishto. Last line on the page, his wife says to him, Odcha machzik bituma secha. Are you out of your mind, Iyov? You still believe in this God? Are you still going to be this man who says that everything God does is righteous and just? And she convinces her husband, Barech Elokim Vamus. Barech is a euphemism here. It really means curse God. Just get it over with. We had enough with him. Look what he's done to us. He destroyed our whole family. You're going to hang on for the ride? You're going to tell me you still believe after all he's done to you? Forget about it. Throw up your hands and say, God, it's enough. I've tried my best. Look what I've done for you. Look how faithful I am. And this is what I get. Barech Elokim Vamus. Just tell God it's enough. And give up. And stop being a believer. And what does Eov say? Unbelievable comment in response. Vayomer Eileha. Such a inspiring response that he has. Vayomer Eileha, he says to his beloved wife, Kidaber achas hanavolos tidaberi? Are you going to talk like one of these lowlives in the street? Is that the way you think we are? Is that the way we live life? Gamas hatov nekabo me'ese elokim. When life was going well and we had everything in the world, we took it. We never said a word. We always recognized that it was from God. Ve'eshara lo nekabel. And now that life gets difficult, we're just going to ignore and pretend like God doesn't exist anymore. That's not the way it works. Says Eov to his wife. Eshatov nekabel me'ese elokim. When I had a parnasa, when life was going really well, when all of my children got married, when everybody was able to provide for themselves, when all of them are celebrating every night, when we're on top of the world, we're going to take all of that and say it's from God. And now suddenly, when things turn on us, we're going to say God doesn't exist anymore. Does that make sense? B'chol zos lo chata Eov b'sfasav. Amazing. Vayishmu shloshes roi Eov. Now things get much more complicated because Eov has three friends, three philosophers, who hear about all that has happened to him, and each one of them comes from their community to visit him. One of them's name was Eliphaz HaTimni, Bildad HaShuchi, Tzofer HaNaamasi, and all of them decide we should get together to comfort and console Eov. After all, our friend is suffering so much. Vayisu eseneim erachok v'lo hiki ruhu. You ever watch, you ever observe a person who's going through something horrible? Sometimes if you haven't seen them in a while, you don't recognize them. They've lost so much weight. They don't take care of themselves. Just because they don't have time, they can't think about themselves. Their mind is elsewhere. So they come toward Eov and they don't even recognize him. Vayisu kolam vayivku, everybody starts to cry. Vayikru ishmeilo, and they rip their clothing. Vayeshvu ito le'eretz shivas yamim v'shivas leilos. This is a very important comment here. They all sit with Eov 7 days and seven nights. Ve'ein dover elav davar. They don't say a word. That's what good friends are supposed to do. You ever been to a shiva house and you have that person who thinks that they need to say something? It doesn't help. It doesn't make the pain any less. And if you have nothing to say, just don't say it. And that here is what the Pasuk teaches us. Eov has three close friends and they know that he's going through the most horrible suffering. And they sit there for 7 days and seven nights and they don't say a word. Why? Ki ro ki gadal hakeev meod, because they saw how painful it was, his experience. And there's nothing we can say. And nothing that anyone will ever say will help him. And the most we can do is show him that we're being supportive and sit with him and just be there for him. And if he feels there's something we can be helpful with, he'll let us know. But we don't need to say anything. This is the story of Eov. In case you haven't heard enough, and I see we're already getting close to the end of our shiur, I'm not sure how, but life moves on. Eov's three friends finally turn on him. And they say, well, mihu naki aved, do you believe that God would make an innocent person suffer like this? Can't be. And therefore, it must be that all of our understandings of who you, Eov, always were incorrect. The Sefer starts off saying, Eov was an ishtam v'yirei Elokim. Can't be. If you were such a righteous man, if you were so devout, if you were so divine, there's no way God would ever do this to you. So it must be you've done some pretty horrible things in your life that we're just not aware of. And they get into a whole discussion with Eov how you're not the man we always thought you were. You're not the friend we thought you were. There's some difficult stories hidden in your life that we just don't know about. You must have been evil to a number of people along the way, and therefore you deserve this. Because if we had a chance to either say, a choice, to say either it's you bad or God is bad for what he did, it must be that you're evil. So basically, all of Eov's friends turn on him as well. To the point that Eov says later on, Achi bagdu kimo nachal. My own friends who were like brothers to me, they betrayed me. I was nowhere. I was alone. My wife had enough. My friends were out of the picture. Not only were they out of the picture, my friends accused me of wrongdoing. So when you read through this story, it's painfully sad. It's a little bit unrealistic, if we'll be honest, for regular people like myself. I don't know how somebody like Eov can possibly have such a reaction. And we look back to the story of Avraham Avinu. What does Avraham Avinu say when God in Parshas Vayera wants to destroy the city of Sodom? What does he say? What is his claim? He negotiates maybe 20 people, maybe 10 people, maybe 5 people. What is the premise of his argument? He says, Chalila lecha me'asos kadavar hazeh. God, you are a righteous God. El emuna ve'ein avil. Everything you do is calculated. So how can it be? Lehamis tzadikim rasha, collective punishment? That's not fair. If there's a righteous person in the city, he doesn't deserve to be punished. So Avraham Avinu's whole perspective on life is that God is just, that everything is calculated, that everything makes sense, and therefore he says, this cannot be. You can't destroy an entire city. And it's not just Avraham Avinu. David HaMelech in Tehillim, we say this pasuk all the time. I don't know how many of us think about it, but we say it in benching. Nar ha'yisi v'gam zakanti, v'lo ra'yisi tzadik ne'ezav. What does that mean? It means I've been around the block. I'm an old man, David HaMelech says. Nar ha'yisi v'gam zakanti. I've experienced life. I've been around for a while. And in all my years, David HaMelech says, lo ra'yisi tzadik ne'ezav. I never saw a righteous person who was betrayed by God. I've never seen a righteous person who God just lets go of. Because God is just, says David HaMelech. And in Parshas B'chukosai, we have the same kind of description. If you'll listen and you'll follow all the mitzvahs HaTorah, then God will give you all the blessing. And if not, you know what's going to happen. That's where we have all the tochacha and all the terrible calamities, all the curses that the Torah outlines. And it seems clear from the way this is described in Chumash, that everything is justified. Ki chol derachav mishpat. That everything that God does, that every decision that He makes for a human being is because we deserve it. And yet, for me, that doesn't work. I'm talking very personally, you can all listen in. But this is something I struggle with. Really? Maybe you can dream in your own mind how an adult might deserve something that they get. But you explain to me how a young child who never even had an opportunity to do anything in life is born sick? Does that make sense to you? Does that fit in with everything else that Avraham Avinu believes is Chalila lecha me'asos kadavar hazeh? Is that what the Torah says? That if you do this, then that's going to be your punishment, and if you do that, then this is going to be your reward? It doesn't seem to fit. It can't fit. So writes the Michtav Me'Eliyahu. Rav Dessler writes in his masterful Sefer Michtav Me'Eliyahu. And when I read this a number of years ago, I identified with it because this is me. This is me. This is what I struggle with. I don't know how many others in the room. Don't embarrass yourselves. You shouldn't be embarrassed. A believer struggles. It's what it means to be a believer. You think about things. If you don't struggle with anything, you're probably not thinking about anything. So writes the Michtav Me'Eliyahu. Bechalanu pogim bekushyos gedolos vechazakos. We have many very painful and difficult questions. Lama ploni zacha lechayim u'usharim. Why is it fair that somebody we know has a wonderful, blessed life? V'hasheni chayit zar yichya. And a second person is living through hell. How can that be? Lama ploni hatzadik yizbol yisurim rabim. Why is it that a righteous person who's done so much for the community deserves to get this? V'chayiv yu kechayi gehenim. He's living through gehenim on earth. Uploni harashi you call yamav kechagim, and you have evil people who somehow everything just seems to go for them. There are some people who are not bothered by such questions. I think we refer to that as emuna pshuta. They just believe everything's fine, like Avraham Avinu said. Chalila lecha me'asos kadavar azeh. There's no way God would do anything that wasn't fair, and that's fine, it works for them. So Rav Asher Weiss once told me, maybe emuna pshuta worked in a world that was pashut. But we live in a very complicated world. So maybe emuna pshuta might not work for everybody today. For those that it works, great. I'm proud of you. You're very lucky. But for those of us who it doesn't work, and we need a little bit more than that, and we do struggle, and we do have questions, is there a place for our questions? Well, writes Rav Dessler, Amnam gam rabim heima asher lo tasbik lahem atshuva abrura hazos. There are many people, like myself, who emuna pshuta does not suffice. And we have all kinds of questions, and we see people suffering, and we don't understand it. After all, the premise of what we started with was that the reason God created the world is because He loves us, because He's the ultimate, merciful personality in the world. If God is really so kind and so generous and so magnanimous, why does He make our lives so bitter? If it's true that sometimes it's a punishment, how does it match up that some people who seem to be punished really cannot deserve that? It's no way. Next paragraph. There are some who will ask, says Rav Dessler, I'm going to ask you a more penetrating question, and that is, how do you justify a child who's born with illness? What could he have done? Yesh gam shemachalasim yirusha lehem me'avoseihem. Some people have genetic disorders. Lama asu lehem kacha min hashamayim. God makes them be born deformed, or makes them have all kinds of challenges in the world. Va'amru chazal, and he says, this is all decided before we are born. So how do you explain that? How does that fit in to all of this discussion about the way the Torah describes, im b'chukosai teilechu, if you'll do good in life, you'll be rewarded, and if not, you will be punished? Doesn't seem to fit. And you look around the world, and so many people struggle, and so many people suffer, and there's no way they could have done anything to deserve this. So how do you deal with that? Does that make me a non-believer? Does that make me an apikoros? Exactly what Rav Dessler describes here. And the answer is, if you are one of those people that think like me, you're not alone. You're not alone, and don't think that your thoughts are offensive or unacceptable, because none other than the great Moshe Rabbeinu had the same problem you have. Moshe Rabbeinu says in Parshas Kisisa Hodieni Naz Derechecha, he says to God, please, I'd like an insight into the way that you run this world. It doesn't make sense to me. And the Gemara in Brachos Daf Zayin says, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's question? His question was, Mipnei Ma, why is it that I look around the world, V'yesh Tzadik V'ralo, and there's Rasha V'tovlo? Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon HaNavim, the greatest man to ever live, had Peh Peh, he had direct communication with God Himself. He had the greatest understanding that any Jew will ever have, and yet Moshe Rabbeinu struggled with the same question we all do. How is this fair? How does this fit? It doesn't make sense to us. And it wasn't only Moshe Rabbeinu. You look further in Tanakh and you have Yirmiyah HaNavi. Look at the bottom of the page here, line 45. Yirmiyah HaNavi, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Aleph and Beis, he says, Tzadik Ata Hashem Ki Arav Alecha. God, I love you, I believe in you. I forgot to put on the beginning of this pasuk, but he says, I love you and I trust you. You can look it up. I'm not making it up. Tzadik Ata Hashem Ki Arav Alecha. I get it. You have a system here. But ach mishpatim adaber oscha, I need to talk to you, I need to have a hard conversation with you, says Yirmiyah. And what is my conversation? Madua derech rishayim tzalecha. Why is it fair, God, that those evil people in the world seem to have life so easy? Shalav kol bogdu beged, natatem gan sharasho, yelchu gam asu peri, everything they do is successful. And here I am, the God-fearing Jew, I'm in the dark. And he says, every day life gets worse and worse. Yirmiyah HaNavi, The great Navi Yirmiya also has the same problem we struggle with. How can it be? Madua derech rishayim salecha. How can this be? It doesn't seem justified at all. It doesn't seem calculated. The Navi Chavakuk has the same issue. Now, I'm sure there are many, many other psukim in Tanakh that have the same feeling. I don't know all of Tanakh, but this is just the ones that I'm familiar with. Says the Navi Chavakuk, Tahore Naim Era Ozbera, here line 48. God, you are a Tahore Naim, you don't like to see evil. You're the purest. And if that's true, Lama Tabit Bogdim, why is it that you allow yourself to look and to watch and to experience all of these people who hate you and who go against you? Tacharish, you remain silent. Bibela Rasha Tzadik Mimenu, when you have an evil person who destroys the life of the righteous. Vitasa Adam Kidigei Hayam, Al Mishmarti Amoda Visyatzva Al Matsur. God, I have these questions and I'm going to pin you on these questions. You try to answer them for me, says Chavakuk. Speaks with a little bit of a disrespectful tone. But he says, I'm waiting, God. I got problems. I look around the world. This doesn't make sense to me. And I'm waiting for an answer. God, I've hurled some pretty serious criticism against you. What are you going to answer? How are you going to get out of this one? These are the Nevi'im speaking. This is not me. This is Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Yirmiya HaNavi, and it's Chavakuk. All the Nevi'im that had tremendous insight into the ways of God, and yet, they were troubled with the same problems we all are. And they all couldn't figure the system out. David HaMelech quotes in Tehillim, look at number Vav. He talks about Asaf, and how Asaf almost gave up his faith because of this problem as well. Va'ani kemat natayu raglai. I was completely thrown off track. I went off the derech. Ki kinesi baholalim. Because I was so jealous of those people in the world. Shalom rishayim era. Because I looked around and I saw, what's the point of being a God-fearing Jew? It doesn't get you anywhere. Why am I hanging on? Why am I doing this? Why am I being somebody who still is a steadfast believer when it doesn't pay off? This is the question that David HaMelech says, Ve'amru, Eicha yada el v'yesh deya be'elyon. Does God have any sense? Yesh deya be'elyon? Does any of this have a calculated, conform, like, do we have any way of figuring out why this should be the way it is? And he says, it's throwing me off. It's making me feel like I shouldn't believe anymore. Hine eile v'shayim v'shalva olam hisigul chayil. These people seem to be prosperous and wealthy and everything's going great. Achreik, zachisi levavi, ve'erchatz b'nikayon kapai. He says, it's pointless for me to be this righteous man. Ve'ehi nagua kol hayom, when I am constantly pained and afflicted by you. Ve'tochachti lebekarm. I wake up every morning and there's some new problem. And I wake up the next day and there's another challenge and another ounce of suffering and another problem I have to deal with and another challenge I have to overcome. What do you want from me? Here I am, erchatz benikayon kapai, I'm doing everything you ask of me, and this is what I deserve, this is what I get. So, let's turn to the last of the Nevi'im. Sefer Malachi is known as the last of the Nevi'im. The Gemara says in Masechah Sota on the last daf, that Mishameis Chagai Zechariah Malachi, after Malachi passed away, Batla Ruach HaKodesh. So Malachi is the last Navi that we are familiar with. Who Malachi was is a question that the Gemara has in Maseches Megillah, not clear. Some say he was Ezra. Whoever he was a great Navi who lived in the times of the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash. And that was the last period of Nevi'im that we experienced. So here in the last, it's only three prakim. Sefer Malachi is only three chapters. And here in the last chapter, he leaves over the instruction manual for the Jews who are going to live in entire exile without any more prophecy. And this was a new reality for them. We've never known such a reality. No Nevi'im? What do we do now? We're lost. We're lost. Who's going to tell us how we should act, what we should do, what God wants of us? So listen to the signing off of the last Navi, Malachi. And I find it fascinating that he signs off with the same thing. because he's validating, he's identifying, this is what Jews are going to struggle with, this is what they always have, and this is what they always will struggle with. So says the Navi in Malachi. Let's learn it together. Line 61. Chizku alai divreichem amar Hashem. God calls Malachi and he says, you know, you've had some harsh words for me. Va'amartem ma nidbarnu elecha. And then when I call you out on it, you say, what did I do wrong? What did I say? Well, God says, I'll tell you exactly what you said. You thought I wasn't listening, but let me repeat to you some conversations that you've been having with your friends. Amartem, you said, Shav avod Elokim. You said it is pointless to serve God. Uma betza, and what do we gain? Ki shamarnu mishmarto. What do we gain from hanging on to the faith, from being believers? Ki halachnu kedoranis mipnei Hashem tzivakos. We have followed in absolute awe. And you say, there's no value, there is no point, we get nothing for this. Ve'ata, anachnu ma'ashrim zeidim, we observe people that are happy and living successful lives, but they're evil people. Gam nivnu osei rasha, those people who don't listen to you, God, seem to have so much positivity, so much gain in the world. Gam bachanu elokim vayimaleitu. They have fought against you, and they've gotten away with it. As Nidbru Yire Hashem Isha Re'ehu, while all these Jews were sitting and having this conversation and asking each other, how can this be? This is unfair. This is unjust. Vayakshev Hashem Vayishma. God in heaven is listening. Vayikasev Sefer Zikaron Lifanav. God keeps a very careful accounting. Don't worry, says God. V'hayuli amar Hashem tzivakos. My careful accounting that I've been watching over for thousands of years, that will be with me layom asher ani oseh segula. That will remain with me, that ledger will stay with me until that day that I decide it's time to uncover all that's been going on. V'chamalti alehem kasher yachmal ish al beno ha'oved oso, like a child who's lost from his parents and finally has that opportunity to come back, God says, it's going to come. This is going to happen. Just remember, this is the last Navi. The last Navi to ever live in Jewish history. V'shavtem ureisem bein tzadik l'rasha, bein oved alokim la'asher lo avado. Don't worry, God says, I'm keeping track of everything. There will come a time when you will once again understand how to clearly make a demarcation between that person who is a tzaddik and he or she who is a rasha. Ben oved elokim la'asher lo avado. Have no fear, God says. I know what's happening. I understand you have questions. I'm keeping track of all of it. Ki hine hayom ba bo'er ketanur. There's going to come a day. V'hayu kol zedim chol osei risha kash v'lahat osam hayom haba. God is going to give a payback. Amar Hashem tzivakos. Don't worry. V'zarcha lachem yirei shemi shemesh tzedaka umarpe b'chnafeh v'yatzasem u'pishtem ke'egle marbeg. Don't worry, God says, you will shine like the sun. Those who were faithful, those who continued to believe, those who had questions along the way and were having great difficulty, but yet made that decision that it's worthwhile to still live a life of belief. And writes the Navi Malachi, for the meantime, we're going to go into a gullus, and it's going to be complicated, and it's going to be confusing. The only thing I can say, says the Navi, the only one directive, the only one instruction I can tell you is, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi Asher Tzivisi Oso Bechorev. The only thing you can do right now is follow all the instructions of Moshe Rabbeinu. Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, it's the signing off of the last Navi that the Jewish people have ever known. There are no answers that we will ever understand. And yes, are you challenged with it? Says the Navi Malachi, so was I. And says David HaMelech, so was Asaph. And writes Yirmiyah HaNavi, I had the same problem you do. And says Moshe Rabbeinu, so did I. And the only answer for now is to remember what God Himself told Malachi. I'm keeping track. Vayakshev Hashem Vayishma. God has a very careful calculation of all that goes on, of all that has gone on, and all that will continue to go on. And there will come a time, but until then, says the Navi, the only advice I can give you is, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. Until then, the only thing that we can do as Jewish people is try to remember the values, the lessons of Moshe Rabbeinu. And with that, writes the Navi in the very last psukim, Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lachem Es Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Ba Yom Hashem HaGadol VeHanora. Don't be afraid. There will come a time that Eliyahu HaNavi will once again reveal himself. And all of this will become clear to us. I know it's hard for us to imagine, it's hard for us to believe. But says the Navi Malachi, we all struggle with the same issue, with the same problem. And it's been a struggle for thousands of years. And the answer is, there will come a time, Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lachem Es Eliyahu HaNavi, Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol VeHanora. Eliyahu HaNavi will come the day before Mashiach, and we will once again have that sense of clarity that we've been waiting for. There will come that time, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when I will give you that sense of understanding, that I will open up the Sefer Zikaron Lefanai, that all of this will become clear. But until then, he says, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. This is the way, the final of the period of Nevi'im. This is the last prophet of the Jewish people. This is how he ends off. This is his message. You think you're going to ever understand? Yes, it's true. Avraham Avinu says, Chalila lacha me'asos kadavar hazeh. That is our premise. El emunah ve'ein ava, we believe that God is just, that he's calculated, that everything is somehow deserving. We don't understand it. We are challenged with it. We do have trouble internalizing how it's possible that I deserve what it is that I got. How somebody suffers so much. How could it be a young child deserves to get what they did? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't worry. Ki hinei yamim ba'im, there will come a time. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Vayikasev sefer zikaron lefanav. It's all being written down. Eliyahu HaNavi will come. And when Eliyahu HaNavi does come and reveal himself, it will become clear. L'choshvei Shemo, for all those who thought about God, for all those who hung on, for all those who understood that, yes, I can have questions, but I can still be a believer. I can have all kinds of problems. I can have all kinds of challenges. And I have very valid reason to have problems and challenges. And we still believe in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a careful accounting of everything. And there will come a time when all of it will become clear to all of us, and we will be granted that sense of infinite understanding of the Darkei Hashem. So Amir Tz Hashem.